Good morning. Before we begin our worship together this morning, we are going to have a brief congregational meeting to take a vote on the 2024 budget. So with that, I'm going to call the meeting to order. I'll remind you that we think about our stewardship campaign and the theme of investing in our future. And I hope that you have seen in our budget that we have shared with all of you reflects that intention and that approach this year to our budget. It's another year of change for us, and a couple things I wanted to remind everyone about the budget for this year. We're planning on a number of things that are coming up, again, in the spirit of change. We have Lisa, who is our church office administrator, who will be retiring in March. We are calling a new senior pastor this summer. And we are also introducing a new role of a communications coordinator position to help us in our ambition to grow and reach those not just within St. John's walls, but also outside in the greater Lansdale community. The idea of the communications lead role is also came out of our visioning that we did earlier this year. So, you know, all these activities that all of you have participated in and brought your own views and ideas to are, I hope you can start to see coming to fruition in our budget. I will remind you that the budget was approved by council on November 13th. And we had a hearing and a review of the budget after the service last week, and there were copies of the budget available. I think there's still some copies available if anyone is interested. They look like this. They would have been where you picked up your bulletins on the way in this morning. As a summary of that budget, our operating budget is $621,395, which is about a 4% increase from last year, most of that reflecting on our new church personnel that we're expecting to have in 2024. Then our budget for the new communications role is $51,600, which is a combination of salary for that person as well as an operating budget. So with that, I would like to entertain two motions this morning. The first motion is to approve the 2024 operating budget as approved by council on November 13th, 2023. Is there anyone who is willing to make that motion? I see Jen Gilbert at the back. Let me just make a note of that. Is there a second? I see Debbie's hand over here. We're making a motion to approve the budget, and once that motion happens, we will go ahead and collect. You'll vote, and then we'll confirm that motion. The motion is to provide a vote on the budget, not to approve the budget. You're right. Can I correct that? We'll have a motion to vote on the budget. Does that work? Thank you for correcting me. Okay, so we have a first and a second on that. I'd also like to get a motion to vote on the budget for the communications role. Thank you very much. Got Mark, is there a second? I see Marge. I'll take Marge. Thank you. Okay, so now we have approval to go ahead and proceed with the vote on the budget. Some instructions this year. It's just a little bit different. When you came in, you should have had two ballots, and they are two different colors because we are voting on the operations budget separate from the blue coordinator role budget. So the white one is for the operating budget, and the blue one is for the coordinations role. So if you could take time now to complete your ballot. Is there anyone here who needs a ballot who doesn't have one when you came in? Okay, we have some of our hospitality that are come out and provide those ballots. Okay, let's call. Anybody else need your ballots? Okay, so with that, I'll ask you to complete your ballot. You can fold it in half. If for ease of collection, we're going to have the hospitality team come down through the center aisle. So if you could pass your ballot to the center aisle for them to collect, that would be terrific. And I believe we have Steve Durenko and Janet Morton, if they're here and available to come and help count the ballots. It doesn't matter. We'll be separating. The question was, do we want the ballots together or separate? Everything just goes into the collection together. The reason why we have two different colors is to make it easy for us to separate as we count. So they all can just go in together. Okay, let me check. Has everyone who completed a ballot been able to hand it to, I think we might have some in the balcony yet. Let's just give that a moment. We're good. Okay, I got the thumbs up from Jen Gilbert. I think we've got all more ballots here. Okay. Hospitality, Jen, we have another ballot up front here. You know what? Let me just grab it. Okay, I think everyone has had a chance to cast their vote. So with that, I will adjourn the congregational meeting and we will take a count of the votes and after the postlude, I will come up and share the results. Thank you very much.
Good morning, church. Welcome. Welcome to this second Sunday of Advent. We are so happy that you are with us this morning. If you happen to be visiting with us, a very special welcome to you as well. I have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. First, if you haven't heard, St. John's is in the midst of a soup sale. And all proceeds will go to the exterior restoration of our building. Soup is $9 a quart, and there are a couple places that you can buy your soup. One is downstairs in the assembly hall following worship, and one other location is here in the library. And you are certainly encouraged to put in some more orders for soup if you'd like. And we want to thank all the soup volunteers who made 106 quarts of soup. That's a lot of soup. The 2024 church calendars are ready and available in the narthex and elevator lobby. The 2024 offering envelopes are also available in the narthex. I want to remind you that we will be hosting a service of Longest Night here on Wednesday evening, December 20th at 7 p.m. You're welcome to join us for dinner between 5 and 7. And also want to remind you that in your bulletin is an insert of all the activities and worship services that we will be hosting during Advent and Christmas. Today at 4 p.m. is our Christmas festival. We hope you can join us here at 4 p.m. This is the Artist Series Christmas Festival. Again, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to worship today. So let us now prepare our hearts for just that. If you are able, would you please stand? Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Something is unfolding. Something is emerging. A new birth is on the horizon. Even if we can't yet see it, we sense it. Yes, the world is about to turn. A new beginning is underway, and we are called to be hope-filled and ready. We are choosing to center our lives around this light of hope, for in this light, we can see dawn peeking over the horizon. We are able to feel the possibility of new life. What we long for will come to be. Come, let us worship in the light of hope. Amen. Would you join with me now in our confession? God of wonder, mystery, and the unexpected, we are in holiday mode, planning, shopping, baking, decorating, ordering, and wrapping are well underway. There are lists, places to go, things to accomplish. But are we preparing for the birth of Jesus in our lives, or are we simply moving through the pageantry of Christmas without much in the way of the preparation that really matters? God, help us to slow down and reflect, as did Mary, on the wonder, majesty, and miracle of your coming to live among us. Remind us that you came to earth without a show, without pomp, without the countless distractions. And yes, God, we do confess that it is sometimes easier to focus on the external glamour of the season as opposed to preparing our hearts for the way you want to live in them. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Time and time again, we can get swept up in our agendas. All the while, God patiently waits for us to come to the realization that we are off course. God's forgiveness comes to us from a place of love. That love wants joy and peace for us and for the world.
You may be seated. Before we begin our baptism and before I invite the family forward, we had a really good problem. We ran out of bulletins. So if you came in the last few minutes and didn't get a bulletin, could you raise your hand? Hi. Is there anyone who would be willing to share with their neighbor so that the people raising their hands could have a bulletin? And if I could have some facilitators of that, that would be fantastic. I want all of you to join in the rest of our worship service, and I also want you to make promises to our little one who's about to be baptized. So bulletins are important. Awesome. Thank you so much. Are we everybody good? Beautiful. I think we're all set. Okay. All right, I'm going to invite our family forward and our little one, Emma, as well as godparents can also come forward. It's a little crowded up here. We've got a lot going on, but you guys can stand over here. Godparents can join me on this side. Perfect.
That's perfect.
You're good. Very good. I'm also going to invite Debbie Hendricks up, our elder of the morning, and she's going to do the ever-important task of pouring water into our baptismal font. So as Debbie pours this water, we remember that it is God's love poured out for us. I like to imagine that God's love for us is as infinite as the waters of the sea. So we remember that as Debbie pours this morning. Thank you so much. Okay. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship.
Brian and Jenna, welcome to this moment. I have some questions to ask you. Okay, and looking here at Emma, who's looking so radiant this morning. Baptism is a sacrament of God's boundless grace, a celebration of God's unconditional, never-ending love. It is also a promise-making time. Brian and Jenna, will you promise, with God's help, to reflect God's no-strings-attached, endless love in your relationship with Emma? If so, say, yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Baptism is also a christening. It completes the naming process. To the name you have given your child, Emma Grace, we will add the name Child of God, member of God's family. Will you seek to help Emma come to know who she is at the deepest and most basic level?
Yes, we will.
Yes, you will, and so will Emma.
She's here for it.
Baptism is also about anticipation. We anticipate the time when Emma will confirm the decision to live in the power of God's love and grace and follow the ways of Christ. Will you, with your nurturing and encouragement, prepare Emma for that time?
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to move over here to the godparents. Give Emma a break. Will you, godparents, Jessica, Vita, Daniel, support Brian and Jenna in this commitment and become a special friend and faith partner to Emma? If so, say, yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Okay, and now the congregation. Let us join together as the people of St. John's and members of the body of Christ to make our own promises as we welcome and embrace this beloved one. As members of Christ's church, we promise this child our love, support, and care with joy and thanksgiving. We welcome you into Christ Church to share with us in ministry, for we are all one in Christ.
I invite you to join me as we share in our baptismal prayer. We thank you, God, for the gift of creation made known to us in water and word. before the world had shape and form, your spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters from slavery to freedom and crossed the flowing Jordan to enter into the Promised Land. You have come to us through water in the stories of Jesus, who was nurtured in the water of Mary's womb, baptized by John in the water of Jordan, and became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and sent them forth to baptize with water and spirit. Bless by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. Bless Emma, bless all who touch and taste this water, that she and all may be ever reminded of your abiding presence and claim on their lives. Amen. I have my work cut out for me. We'll see how she does.
She might like you more than
Hey, remember me? Remember me? Yeah. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of lights, loud noises. Okay. And now there's about to be water on your head. You want to see Mom? I know. Okay. All right. Emma Grace. You are baptized in the name of the God who created you and those lungs. In the name of Christ. Here. I don't want to torture her. The mother's love. All right, we got to finish this thing.
Oh, we're so fishy.
In the name of Christ, the one who redeems you and sustains you, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, your comforter, your guide, and your friend, may you go from this place knowing that today and every day God's hand is upon you. Amen. Amen. Let's join in welcoming Emma by joining in a song of praise. As we switch our gears and move into our time of scripture reading this morning, we will hear this morning from the Gospel of Luke. We've been hanging out in the Gospel of Luke for a little bit as we journey through this Advent season. So this morning, we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy. According to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. May God give us wisdom as we continue to live into these words this day. Amen. This time I'm going to invite our children to come forward and join me on the steps. Have something for us to think about today. As always, come have a seat. It's called a stole, and pastors wear them. Reverend Dale and I both have them. Yeah. All right. How's everyone doing today? Good? Well, in our scripture reading, hey, come on up. In our scripture reading that we just read, we heard about two friends. How many of you have a really good friend? I bet all of you do, right? Do you have a really good friend? Yeah, maybe at school, maybe at church, maybe it's a cousin, maybe it's a sibling. Oh, he moved. Yeah, sometimes our friends move away, but I bet you have some new friends that you're close with, right? Yeah. Well, in our scripture reading today, we heard about Mary and Elizabeth, and they are really good friends. And it got me thinking about how wonderful it is when you have someone that is just so close to you, you just go together. And then I started thinking about other things that just go together. And I thought of a present that a friend of mine gave to me. It was just one of those thinking of you presents. It wasn't for Christmas or it wasn't my birthday, but it was this. What is this? What is this?
Bread?
It is bread. William. Love, well, yeah, they have love, but what is... Peanut butter and jelly, right? Peanut butter and jelly. Do you guys like peanut butter and jelly?
Yes, sometimes I have toast with just peanut butter.
Ooh, toast with just peanut butter is a personal favorite of mine. Peanut butter and jelly. And my friend just gave this to me because she said it just reminds me of us, right? It reminds me of us, the love that we share for one another and the fact that we just go together. There's some things that just go together. Macaroni and cheese, peanut butter and jelly, salt and pepper, right? Those things just kind of, peanut butter and toast, yes, butter and toast, all of these things just kind of go together. And this kind of got me thinking, not only was it a gift from a really good friend, but it was also a reminder of things that just go together. Well, like Mary and Elizabeth, they kind of just go together too, but something else goes together. And that is faith and friendship. Faith and friendship. In our scripture reading today, Mary is traveling. Now, Mary is pregnant with baby Jesus, and she's feeling probably overwhelmed, probably scared, probably confused, and she finds her friend Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is also pregnant with a baby, and together they meet one another. And you know that feeling when you see a friend you haven't seen in a long time? Or you know that feeling when you're really stressed or you're really scared and you see a friend or maybe a parent comes and accompanies you or a sibling comes and everything seems like, okay, now it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because my friend is here. It's going to be okay because my mom is here or my cousin is here or my sister's here. It's that coming alongside of someone. It's that being someone's friend that really helps our faith to take root. There's a lot of times in life when we wouldn't be able to do the things that we have to do if we didn't have someone next to us, if we didn't have the peanut butter to our jelly, right? So the rest of the week, and maybe starting today, I want you to start thinking about the people in your life and giving thanks, saying thank you to God for the people that help you get through each day, the people that help you hear God's call, just like Mary did, and say yes, because you know what? She was like, I'm not sure if I can do this, but I can do it with the people around me. I don't have to do it alone, which is really, really important, okay? So today we're giving thanks for peanut butter and jelly, for things that go together, for Mary and Elizabeth, and for faith and friendship, right? Okay, sure, you can hold it while we pray. All right, let's say a prayer together, and then we'll join in saying our Lord's Prayer, okay? Loving God, there are some things that just go together, like peanut butter and jelly, like salt and pepper, like macaroni and cheese, like us and our very best friends, like your servants Mary and Elizabeth, and God, like friendship and faith. And we give you thanks for those people on our journeys who help make it a little bit easier to say yes to your call on our lives. And we give you thanks for the people who come alongside of us, who greet us with a hug when we see them, and who say, we're going to get through this, and it's going to be okay. God, be with us in the rest of our days and the rest of our Advent journeys as we head closer to Christmas, and thank you so much for each person gathered here this morning. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, thank you so much for joining me. You can head back to your seats. I will, next time I do a children's sermon, I will definitely bring something to share. Absolutely.
There's a Presbyterian pastor, his name is Mark Laberton, and he tells this story about one of his church members named Doris. Doris was very active, in the church. She had silver blonde hair. She was in her 80s. And every Friday morning at 11 a.m., Doris would bring a basket of muffins to the church. And one Friday, as Doris reached into her car to fetch that basket of muffins, she was struck from behind. And she was forced back into her car. The invader, a young man, jumped into the driver's seat, then sped off with Doris. Later that day, Mark Laberton, Doris's pastor, went to her apartment to see how she was doing, to offer his care and support. And, you know, besides being a little shaken, Doris seemed to be almost matter-of-fact about the whole thing. After he took off with the car, the first thing I did, of course, was to ask him his name, said Doris. And Pastor Mark was a bit mystified. You were being mugged and kidnapped, and you start out by asking this guy his name? Yes, said Doris. The perpetrator said his name was Jesse, and so then Doris replied, Jesse, what are you doing? Jesse explained that he was kidnapping her so that they could go to an ATM machine and withdraw money from Doris's account. And Doris fired right back at Jesse, Jesse, why are you doing this? He said he needed money for drugs, and so Doris opened her mouth again. Well, Jesse, it's a terrible thing to be a drug addict. You really shouldn't be a drug addict. It's not the way you should be living your life. And at this point during their conversation, Pastor Laberton began to feel a little more anxious about what he was hearing. When they arrived at the first ATM, Jesse threatened Doris in order to get her ATM password. And Jesse went to the machine, got the cash, and then they headed off to another ATM. And while driving to this second ATM, Doris told Jesse that he really needed help. This drug problem was something bigger than Jesse could handle on his own. He needed God's help, a God who loved him and could understand what he was going through. Well, that's what Doris told him. After Jesse had succeeded in withdrawing money at the second ATM, Doris added that she thought he could use an effective drug rehab program. Jesse said he had tried that and that didn't work. Doris countered with suggesting he needed a better program. By the third bank branch, Jesse had hit the withdrawal limit on Doris's bank account. And so, no longer of any use to Doris, Jesse pulls the car over and says he's going to let her out. But Doris wasn't done offering advice to Jesse. She said, Jesse, I am going to pray that you will get caught for this because it's wrong and you shouldn't get away with doing this to people. I'm also going to pray that you will get caught So I can not only testify that you did it, but so I can also plead with the judge that you need a really good drug rehab program. You need to get caught so you can be stopped and helped. You need God to give you strength to get off drugs and have a better life. Upon hearing all of this, Pastor Mark Laberton wasn't so sure that he would have ever had the courage or composure to offer such words to his kidnapper. When Jesse pulled the car over for Doris to get out, she had difficulty getting out because of Jesse's battering. It was then that something, oh, like a tiny miracle, unfolded. Instead of leaving Doris off at the curb, Jesse came around to the other side of the car, helped Doris out, took her arm, and then guided her to the driver's side of the car. And he helped her get in and get behind the wheel. And then he helped her with her seatbelt. And then he gave her a kiss on the cheek. At this point in the story, Pastor Laberton said something to Doris most pastors would say, something like, "You know, I'm so sorry this terrible thing has happened to you." And then in what was a stunning reply, Doris said, "Yeah, it's true, it's bad. But the really horrible thing is that Jesse is addicted to drugs." Mark Laberton was still trying to bring comfort and continued, "But it's awful that you were attacked and kidnapped like this." Doris was quick with a response. "Well, yes, but really, why not me? This sort of thing happens to thousands of people every day," said Doris. And when Pastor Laberton invited Doris to pray, she reminded him that Jesse needed their prayers as well. As you might suspect, Doris ended up at the police station a couple of months later, and she identified Jesse. And then during the court proceedings following his arrest, Doris greeted Jesse and said, "Hey, remember me? I said I was going to pray for this moment, and I told you why. Well, here I am." In addition, Doris told the judge Jesse was the perpetrator, and then added, "Judge, Jesse really, really needs a good drug rehab program so he can get his life back. I know he's guilty, but he also needs help. Can you help him, Judge?" One of the questions we Christians sometimes ask is, why did God choose Mary to become the mother of Jesus? Why Mary? What was it about Mary? What was it about Mary that made her special? After all, Mary was a very humble woman. She was seemingly unworthy of an honor like this. She wasn't on anyone's list of who's who. She wasn't famous. She wasn't craving attention. Why Mary? I think God chose Mary because she had a lot of the same qualities as did Doris. What both Mary and Doris had in common was a profound sense of God's presence. And with the acknowledgement of this presence comes a deep and unfaltering understanding of love. Take Doris, for example. She was initially shocked and disoriented by the invasion of an unwanted visitor, but there was something about Doris's sense of God's presence that allowed her to be fully present to her captor. Not fearful, fully present, to the point of moving beyond fear to, in fact, seeking his welfare. You remember Mary? She was shaken and disoriented when an angel named Gabriel invaded her life and announced that she would be bearing the child Jesus, the Son of God. And yet both women accepted these invasions. They didn't panic. Both women accepted the reality that was unfolding. For Doris, this invasion was potentially dangerous. For Mary, the invasion was downright scandalous. For the gospel writer Luke, Mary, through the whole gospel, becomes the model disciple. You think about the rest of the disciples. When they were under pressure, they bailed. They betrayed. They went skulking off. Not Mary. Some people have argued that Mary was in fact the first disciple. Her presence and attention to what was going on in her and around her makes her just the kind of person God wants and needs. So when we ask why Mary, our response can be one of, why not Mary? Doris had a similar kind of response when her pastor, Mark Labberton, tried to suggest how awful it was that someone tried to kidnap her. Why not me? Exclaimed Doris, as if to suggest that she was as viable as anyone else to help a drug addict in the moment of his fret and frenzy. This morning's scripture focuses on Mary's declaration of God's intentions. We call this passage of scripture the Magnificat, the magnifying of God's greatness. Mary knows why she is carrying this child. Her sheer sense of joy comes because she knows God wants to fill the hungry with good things, fill people like Jesse, whose misplaced hunger for drugs will not give him the life he's capable of having or even knowing. God wants to bring down a peg those of us whose hearts have decided, for example, that people like Jesse are hopeless drains on our society. Far often we give up on these people who need our help far too quickly, far too urgently.
Sometimes, in fact, you and I, we miss the opportunity to fully exercise our love for others. And maybe we've decided that things won't really change. Mary's announcement is that there is one who is coming who will help us love others the way God loves us. It's that kind of announcement that helped create the kind of disciple that Doris had become. As her pastor, Mark Labberton, came to realize, and I want to quote here, everything in Doris believed her God was God for Jesse too. The same love extended to her was also for him. God's heart seeks the welfare of his enemies, so hers did as well. And that's what makes Mary's proclamation so radical. And what makes Doris's testimony and faith so compelling. The coming of Christ is for everyone. For those who are called, like Doris, to embrace God's presence in love, as well as for Jesse, who may not realize it, but who is as loved and cherished as any other person on earth. That is the good news Mary is proclaiming. And it's definitely good news for you and me. Amen.
may be seated. As we take time in the midst of our worship service to share in the prayers of the people, to lift up joys and concerns, I want to name a few joys and concerns. Of course, our joy this morning is our baptism of dear Emma, so we want to keep her and her parents and her whole entire family gathered in our prayers. What a joy it is to worship with you this morning. A few concerns we keep in our prayers. We continue to keep Don Hunsinger in our prayers. The last I've heard, he is home from the hospital, but certainly could use our prayers continuing. And we also keep Jean McKinstry Rogers in our prayers. Knowing that each of us comes to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns, names and faces and situations that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds, I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up together to God in prayer. God, you are indeed a God of hope. And we confess to you that we live in a world very much in need of that hope, now more than ever. As we stay busy during this holiday season, we distract ourselves from the pain that fills our news and our hearts. But we are so painfully aware that hope does not always come easily. So many are crying out for healing and for hope in this broken world. So many face this season with broken hearts, with grief-sick souls, with an emptiness that consumes. And so, God, we do ask that you surround them and all of us with your hope and make us mindful of the hurt that surrounds us. We pray for all those, O God, who stand in the need of hope. We pray for our children who face just as much fear and anxiety as we do, little ones who hunger for love, for compassion, for safety. God, we pray for victims of domestic violence who endure pain and abuse, who long for a sense of hope, for peace and healing. God, we pray for people who live in the grips of their own or a loved one's substance abuse or mental health struggles, all those who seek an escape, who ache to feel better, who despair at seeing no way forward. God, we pray for worshiping communities of all faiths that seek to heal the world and fill it with love. God, we pray for those dear to us who struggle with illness, those who desire comfort in the face of constant pain, those who wait for a diagnosis, for results, for healing, for peace in their own bodies. God, we pray for those who are experiencing home and food insecurity, who hunger and thirst and fear what tomorrow might bring, who search for people to acknowledge them and help them. God, we pray for those who have lost loved ones recently, who grieve the loss of children and parents and other family members and friends, who find the holidays a difficult time where joy and hope is hard to find. And God, in the midst of our own community, we lift up all those experiencing life's joys and life's hardships this day. We keep in mind especially Emma, and we give you thanks for her baptism, for her entrance into this beautiful journey of faith that you have for her. And God, we ask that you continue to wrap your love and care around Don and Jean and all those who care for each of them. We take a moment now, O God, to lift up the prayers that are on our hearts and minds, knowing that you hear all of our prayers, those said out loud and those in the silence of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. We trust that you are a God of hope, of mercy, of steadfast love, and that you are on the way. Make these gifts known to us this day in very real ways, that we might share them as gifts to others. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now have an opportunity to bring our offering forward. If you missed the offering plates on your way in this morning, not to worry. You are more than welcome to come forward at the end of our service and to place your offering in the plates up front before they get taken away. But I do hope that you'll join me as together we stand and sing our doxology as our morning gifts are brought forward and as we dedicate them and lift them up to God's service.
O gracious God, these gifts are gifts of hope. These are the gifts that proclaim thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Use them and use us to your glory, knowing that love fills all. And we pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Just a couple things as we conclude our time, our worship together. First of all, I'd like to invite you following worship to the Assembly Hall. There's an Advent celebration, which is hosted by the Board of Educators. And again, I want to remind you that here today at 4 o'clock, the Artist Series Christmas Festival will be hosted. Following the postlude, I'm going to ask you to hold tight because you will receive the budget vote results. And I'll, President Liz Rivett will come forward to share those. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you, each and every one of you. And may God give you peace, deep peace, today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.
Thank you very much. I have the results of the vote. For the operational budget, we had 96 approves, 7 rejects, and 2 abstains. And for the communications role, we had 77 approve, 21 reject, and 7 abstain. So both are approved. Thank you very much.